and welcome to Hey Art, What's Good? We are a podcast based in the north of England where we like to go to cool art things and see what's good with them. My name's Alice.
And my name's Rosie.
And happy 2020.
Happy 2020.
This is the first time we're back in the studio after the new year.
It's been ages.
It does feel like a while because I feel like the last couple episodes we did before Christmas were like...
elsewhere.
But like, we did them much in advance.
Also that.
And then also I was ill, so it came out later. So
it's been a while.
It's been a while.
I'm so excited to be here. Back in the studio.
I know, what we're like. Something we do here on this podcast, because I forgot to say that, is we like to check in with each other and see what's good. So Rosie, what is good with you?
There is so much good. I'm so excited for 2020. It's going to be such a good year.
Oh, hell yeah. Start your year right.
Right? And I'm like sending good vibes to everyone, because I've just got so many like positive vibes.
Oh.
You know, sharing is caring. So Christmas was lush and amazing and merry, and I hope yours was too.
Yes.
I had a New Year's Eve party,
yeah,
which
did.
Is a 1920s themed 2020 party, and everyone brought it. Like people looked so good, and really all you want from a party is to see all your friends looking really hot.
Mm.
And I achieved that, and it was the best way to bring in the new year, even though Alice left early.
I know.
But you were the actual life of that party. It was so funny. You drank like a bottle of wine before you got there.
No, I drank a bottle of wine within an hour of getting there,
okay,
Rosie.
Well.
Also, literally everyone I've talked to is like, oh, you're the life of that party. I'm like,
you were the life of that party. You were so much fun.
I think I was very loud, but...
And you had, and Alice brought like proper cameras. So we'll have like Polaroids and like proper black and white, like proper photos.
Yeah.
So thank you for immortalizing the night as well.
You are very welcome.
So that was
a blast.
I'm not done though.
No, I would not expect you to be. That was over 8 days ago now, Rosie.
Right.
You've got more good things.
So long. Oh, I'm up to date with Stranger Things.
Mm.
And I, like, this time last year, I hadn't even seen Stranger Things.
Oh, wow. So 3 seasons. Well done, dude.
Thank you. Love it.
Yay.
So good. And I just want to put a theory out there that, like, this is an art podcast, and we will start talking about art sometime.
Yes,
but
we promise.
Not now. I've got to talk about Stranger Things first. So, first season, obviously, work of art. That is art.
Mm.
We could talk about that on this podcast, because that is art. Second season, also good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it got a lot of bad press when it first came out, but as someone who didn't see it as it was coming out, like...
Mm.
It was fine. It was great.
Yeah.
But I have a theory about American TV.
Oh.
Is that the second season is always crap or less good.
Yes.
And then they bring it back in the third.
I would agree.
And there's like Dexter, Desperate Housewives,
mm-hmm.
like loads of American
Although,
things.
Saying that, for Dexter, just random tangent, for whatever reason, when I first watched Dexter, we started with season two. I don't know why, but because my dad was like, oh, I've just started watching this. Do you want to watch it? I was like, oh yeah, cool. And then we watched it all. And every now and then he would like talk about his brother. I'm like, oh, it's weird that they talk about him so much and he's not there. It's because he was in season one and then he gets killed. And then I watched season two, then season three. I was like, oh, wait, this is season two and season three, not season one and season two. So then I went back and watched season one and then watched them all again. And then watched season four, which I believe season four of Dexter is the best one.
I agree.
I was going to say you can fight me on that, but
no,
I'm glad
don't
we don't have to fight.
We can unite and fight the haters ourselves, like, together. Okay. That was strange.
Tangent on a tangent there. Rosie, please continue.
Okay, the last thing that I want to talk about, apart from the art, is I've set myself a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask if you have any New Year res illusions.
I
just call them New Year reses with a Z.
Yep.
But... I haven't really given myself a proper yearly one. I'm just setting myself a January challenge.
I've got January challenges too.
No way. Oh my God. This is great. We haven't seen each other since New Year.
Yeah.
Just an FYI, listeners. Like, this is the first time. So we are properly having a catch up,
yeah.
And you're just along for the ride. So my New Year, well, January challenge. I'm setting myself like a no buy January.
Ooh.
So I'm not allowed to buy anything like needlessly.
Mm.
So I'm allowed to buy like food.
Yeah.
And... replacements for things like, you know, toilet paper and toothpaste and
mm-hmm.
that sort of stuff.
Yeah, like the consumables.
Absolutely. But I'm not allowed to buy any like clothes, accessories, makeup, skincare, house stuff, plants, books, stationery, like any of that, unless it's like necessary.
Yeah.
So like, I broke my phone, I'm gonna fix that. Yeah. That's a necessary buy. I need a new 2020 diary.
You do.
That's very necessary. So like, that's allowed, but nothing like frivolous.
Yeah. And like, if you pop into a shop and you see like a nice cup or like a t-shirt, you're just gonna say no, Rosie.
Yeah.
Just no. Slap your own hand away.
Exactly. And getting over, like, I think it's a good habit to just like reel it in, because we're like brainwashed every day to be consumers.
Yes.
And I don't like that.
No.
So, and it's my money and I don't want to give it away. No. I want to buy a ticket to Tasmania. So
yeah,
that's the goal. I'm saving up to go visit our friend Courtney in Tasmania.
Ooh, we can talk about that after this because I've been looking at flights.
Ooh, can't wait. Okay. Right. So we're finally up to date with me.
Okay.
What about you, Alice?
Well, what's good with me? Again, Christmas was great.
Good.
New Year was fun.
Amazing.
Got to see my brother for a few days, which was really, really nice.
Oh, I got to see Adam as well. That was also a good thing.
Yeah. Everyone got to see Adam.
I got to see the full A-team.
Yes.
Alice, Amy and Adam, for those who don't know, the triplets.
The full triumvirate. I don't know. I'm swear it's an old word. It's got tri in it. So I assume something to do with three.
The triptych?
Sure.
Ooh. That's arty.
That's us.
The troublesome triptych. You're welcome. That's going on your grave.
Well, we'll have to, I guess, be buried right next to each other to make it a triptych.
Wait, are you not? Were you not planning on that?
Yes, sorry, we were.
Okay.
We'll talk about this later.
That's what we're looking forward to.
when we all die at the same time as all triplets do.
It's destiny.
But no, the one other thing I wanted to say is good with me is that I'm learning Spanish at the minute, but just on Duolingo. I say that. I remember in first year of uni, I tried to learn Spanish for a solid 2 weeks and then I got really, really bored and stopped doing it. So I hope that doesn't happen again. But I'm already further in 6 days than I was in 3 weeks in first year of uni. So
I feel like we've all come a long way since the first year of uni.
Yeah. I mean, good, really. Yeah. Ideally, it's for the best.
Yeah, 19-year-old us is just nah. Nah. I wouldn't hang out with us.
Mm-mm.
I'd hang out with us now.
Yeah.
Like 25-year-old us. Hell yeah.
I'm still 24, please and thank you.
Oh, sorry, I'll leave.
But I think, yeah, that's the main thing that's good with me. Trying to learn Spanish, because I was going to do German classes and then I don't think that's happening anymore, so...
Spanish is such a nice language.
It's just cool. I went to Spain that one time, so if we go back to Spain again...
Which we should, because Spain's awesome.
It's pretty sick.
Okay, cool.
Right, cool. Now all that's out the way. How far are we in? What does that say, Rosie? 7 minutes. Jesus. Okay.
Under 10.
So we'll actually crack on and talk about the thing that we're going to talk about this week, which is an exhibition on at the Baltic.
Hey.
It's called Animalesque, and it is a group exhibition on like the top floor. Yeah, four, isn't it?
Yeah, because I saw them like... building it, because you know how you can go onto the viewing platform and you can kind of like snoop over.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, sneak preview.
Oh, sick. But it's such a cool exhibition, Rosie. It's 17 artists whose works all explore issues around the ecology and the environment and kind of human impact on like animals and species and all that kind of stuff.
Something that's very like in right now, I feel like, because we saw a lot of that at Sunderland at the photography exhibition.
Yes, we did.
And that's, I don't know, I just feel like, and obviously like Thought Foundation does like Thoughtful Planet.
Oh, yes.
And like, it's just a thing, like art, it's another example of art being used to like talk about what's, you know.
Like relevant, contemporary, important. And I mean, especially as well with things like the wildfires in Australia and how like something horrendous, like 500 million animals have died or something.
Awful. And I like keep seeing all these videos of like firefighters like giving koalas bottles of water and stuff. Oh my God. It's just heartbreaking. All of it's terrible.
Yeah.
Whole towns have just been devastated and
it's
whole
crazy.
Forests are just burnt to the ground. Very sad.
Yes.
Just, yeah. But then that's kind of the beauty of art, that you take something awful and heartbreaking and just difficult to face and it kind of applies this visual language which makes it like appealing and nice. And if it's nice to look at, you want to find out more and then you kind of can address these really heartbreaking topics without having your heart broken, really.
Yeah.
And this was amazing. Like, there was so many... If you're an animal lover, or even if you're not an animal lover, go. Like, go to this exhibition, because this is really fun.
And it's
really quite quirky as well. I thought, like, a lot of the work was a bit, like, just fun's the word I'm going to go for.
Yeah, oh no, definitely. It's like fun, colourful, there's such a variation of stuff, and at the same time, it's all like very quite poignant and important and like relevant stuff. Yeah. So there's just a whole bunch to break down.
I feel like little people, like children, little humans,
yeah,
they could, like, you could go as like a family and stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
I feel like they'd take away things from it as well, because it's animals. And I'm sure they had, well, spoiler alert, there is Disney in there.
There is, yes.
And like, there's something for everyone, guys. Yeah. Fun for all the family.
But this exhibition is huge. As we said, 17 artists in the massive space, like the Baltic.
Mm.
So dare we take a traipse around Curation Corner, Rosie? I know it's very difficult.
I'm really scared. And I'm going to say something right now on air.
Oh, God.
I'm always terrified to do Curation Corner for the Baltic. It's just so big.
It's very big.
I've said it before. I'm not actually a curator. I don't have any curational experience.
Yeah.
I'm just interested. But in the vein of this podcast, and that is making it up as we go along.
Yep.
I'll have a go.
Oh, thank God.
So picture the top floor of the Baltic. It's big. It's long. There's beautiful, like, kind of
like skylighty
things.
There's
ceiling.
A mezzanine level.
Oh, yes. Nice word.
It's great. Mezzanine and vestibule. Sorry, just a quick side note. There's two great words that you rarely get to use and they're to do with, like, spaces in some kind of building. So
you get 10 points for using that.
Oh, thank you.
Nice one.
Add that to the score list.
I love vocab. It's good. I mean, we do talk for a hobby. Mm. So imagine this room. You walk in, and I think the first thing you're, like, immediately struck by is the exterior of, like, a room, essentially, because the Baltic is so big, you can just put other rooms in it.
You really can.
Because, oh my God, it's just huge. And it's, like, big and black, which contrasts to the rest of the space, which is your more traditional, like, white cube kind of space. But there's so much going on because it is a group exhibition. So the works range everything from, like, wall-based work, sculpture and installation. There's audiovisual work. There's, like, which also, like, that's kind of what the room is. They've essentially built two little theatres.
Yeah.
Because it's the Baltic. And they can, and they do. And they do it with style. But there was kind of partitions and things with work on. And there was, like, so the room was kind of divided, because this room that they've put in the room is kind of on an angle. So the way you're, like...
Oh, yes, it's real weird.
Yeah, the way you navigate the space is kind of not typical, maybe. But it's really interesting. I just like that sort of stuff. And this is not the same at all. But it really does... The angle of it reminds me of, like, the crazy stuff the Baltic can do. Because I remember once, I think it was on a school trip, actually, I went to the Baltic.
Ooh.
In that room, and they had just a full-on actual ship.
What?
Yeah. And it was on an angle to fit it in.
That's mint.
And in the ship was art. It was very cool. But, like, this is the scale I'm talking about. It was a full-on room. Like, bigger than you'd have in your house, unless you live in a very large house.
And so it was probably bigger than my studio, about the same size as my studio flat in Rotterdam, pretty much.
Wow. Like a whole house, basically.
A small house, but yes.
So a little bit of everything. And it's very striking, I think, all the things that were there, because a lot of it was very colourful. So some of the wall-based work was kind of collections or series or collage or mural kind of like. So a lot to take in, which is why I'm a little bit nervous. But that, I think, is a good enough effort.
I think so.
First Curation Corner of 2020.
Woo-hoo.
Somewhat decent. Why, thank you.
Well, speaking of vocabulary, because we like that here, and this is kind of related, because if there's one thing we love in this podcast, it's a segue. Going to say tangent. We love those two.
Also,
we do it a lot. So there's this one. I don't know too much about it. And the main reason I know what I'm about to say is because before you go into, like, this exhibition space, like, do you know how, like, the Baltic, they do the weird thing where it's like there's a wall and then you go behind the walls either on the left or the right, and then you go into the space.
It's like a wall in front of the door.
Yeah, but then there's no actual door there apart from the Judy Chicago one, and there is actual doors, which I don't know if I've seen actual, like, slidey doors.
Ooh, I've seen that.
Yeah, we were there. Yeah. We went to the preview. Regardless, just different because the Baltic can do that. But there's a little, like, TV with just information and, like, about all the different works and stuff. So for this one, when you first go into the actual space, and on the right, there's, like, this big, I don't know, like wooden timber
structure.
And it's very, very colourful, and it's by Amalia Pika, called Yerkish, and it's just cool. So she's done like research in Nigeria, the Gashaka Primate Project, which is dedicated to like wildlife study, and it's like seeing how monkeys and chimps can form like complex ways to communicate and stuff like that. So Yerkish, I can't remember exactly, but Yerkish, there was like some scientist and his surname was Yerk, I'm pretty sure, because it doesn't say this on the bit of information, so I'm just remembering that one thing I saw on the subtitles that one time.
Beautiful.
And it's basically, it's an alphabet, kind of, but created with, like, it's like a pictorial kind of alphabet, like, you know, like hieroglyphics, but not. And it's really, really colourful. And it's like, in theory, an alphabet that monkeys would understand.
That's so cool.
And it's called Yerkish, because it's like, Yerkish. It's like language. So just cool.
I love it.
Yeah. Didn't get a picture of it, so I can't show you.
Hey. I'll go back. Watch this space. Instagram. Hey, what's good? Got to get those plugs in.
But just that's a cool thing to just kind of walk in and see, because you're kind of like, oh, that's fun. And then you're also kind of like, what is it?
And it's, yeah, I love it, because that, I think, encapsulates a lot about this exhibition, because it is all about like, almost like communication, like
yeah,
giving these like issues surrounding like animals and nature and stuff kind of a voice, and using the research in like a practical application. And I don't know, I say it all the time, but there's such cool crossovers when art and science meet.
Oh yeah,
this is just another example, because there's so many different types of art, so many different types of science, mm-hmm. a million combinations, and indeed, they're all probably quite beautiful.
I should think so.
Or at least jarring.
Oh, hey, why not both?
Ooh.
Beautiful and jarring. Ooh. Like, I believe, your favourite piece.
Yes. And I'm
I think
excited.
Beautiful and jarring are the two perfect words to describe it. Maybe wacky, maybe bizarre. Those are also the...
Horrifying.
Also horrifying.
Do you not think?
Oh, uh-huh.
Okay, I need to explain. I think we've already addressed that there's a couple of audiovisual pieces in these little mini cinema situations. So if you go to the very back of the room, there's like a section of it cut off. I think it's like the whole back of the room, which makes this whole little cinema yeah. bit. So if you go in, pitch black, seats, sit down, don't know what you're in for. On the screen is what appears like a creepy little girl running around doing creepy things. But in actual fact, it is a monkey in a dress with a little girl mask on.
And a wig.
And a wig. And it's one of the most beautiful and jarring videos I've ever seen. So it's just, they're just filming this monkey. And it made me consider that every scary girl in a horror film was actually just a monkey in fancy dress. Because it's just so uncanny. Like, uncanny in that it's something familiar but taken yeah. really out of context. Because monkeys are so like human-like, or we humans are so monkey-like, who knows.
Some would argue there's an evolutionary path that can be
traced.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like we're related. So the movements are like almost like a person, but also very much not, and yeah. your brain can't quite figure out what's wrong. And it was just, I loved watching it and just like not decoding it, because it was obvious what it was once you figured out what it was, but I don't know, it's just fascinating. It's like, it was just strange.
It was really strange, because I honestly don't know how exactly they kind of planned and shot this, because it's not necessarily narrative driven at all. It's just following this human like monkey
in a human environment. So yeah. it's like in a kitchen and like a
that's all to do with the kind of the animal-esque link, like that sort of ecology human kind of impact on the earth sort of situation. So it's by Pierre. So this is interesting. It looks like the French version of Hugh, but that's not really a surname. Pierre Hugh, I don't know. It's called Unentitled/Human Mask, and it's shot in Japan, like after the Fukushima like nuclear disastery thingy, which triggered the tsunami in 2011.
Wow, nice one.
Yeah.
First podcast back. It's been a while.
Jeez. But so it's set in like just an empty or abandoned restaurant, like after this, because there's kind of like a no-go zone around it. Yes. So I've seen quite a few films in the past few years about like Fukushima or in that zone, like different things. Was a really cool one which I saw at Leeds Film Festival, which I'll try and find and tell you later. So nice. I also put it on the blog post. It's got nothing to do with art. Well, I mean, one would argue it is art because it's film. Anyway, that whole kind of thing, because it's kind of like, since it is abandoned or empty at the very least, you kind of like, it could be set anytime because it in theory wouldn't be different if it's still like a no-go zone. So I think a kind of implication is that it's like, like mutations kind of happen. So maybe it was a girl, and now because like they've been living in this environment without human and like societal contact, just kind of like, this is the course of evolution, kind of going backwards ish
but it's also like a nod to our genetic past and things like that. So it's, and yeah, like you say, timeless.
Yes,
it is, and both the past and the future.
Yeah, and it does like really driving that point home about like the effect of humans. Obviously nuclear power plants, very much a human kind of intervention situation, but I mean it's kind of like Godzilla. That's a thing, like that was after the Americans dropped the atom bombs on Japan. That was born from that. That's like, this is kind of like where they saw that impact potentially leading. So it's kind of like that, but kind of in a more, maybe a bit more toned down.
Yes, just a little.
Yeah, not quite Godzilla, but so good, like a similar sort of link.
Because the monkey is so like ruckus sometimes and like quite like threatening, because they are like, you know, quite powerful animals. Mm-hmm. But then also at times it looks so vulnerable, because when it's like kind of hunched over in its little dress and its little mask and its little hands are on its face.
Yeah, or like it's like playing with its hair or something like that. How did they keep a wig on a monkey? That's what I want to know.
How did they get a dress on it?
How did they,
There's so many questions. So many questions.
Yeah.
And we're not here to answer them. You can find us on Twitter.
Hang out, what's good. But it's just like doing really mundane things kind of as well. It's like it's going around this kitchen, around this restaurant, like
it's like exploring the objects,
exploring stuff. I think it was trying to like chase a cockroach at some point, just stuff like that. And that is literally all it is. It's 19 minutes of this monkey going around this restaurant, and it does every now and then cut to like a drone shot or an external shot of like this weird place where like all the houses have been kind of knocked about because of the tsunami and stuff. It's just bizarre.
Eerie.
Mm-hmm, very eerie.
That's the word I'm going to use to officially describe it.
That's a good word.
Cool.
Nice.
I'm glad you approve. Shall we talk about the other video?
Yeah, we should.
Because that was...
that was my favourite one.
That was very good.
Like, I think I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I'm just like, a lot of the time, I cannot be bothered with audio-visual pieces at an art gallery, because usually they don't have a seat. Usually it's a weird to just kind of stand, and also sometimes they're like 45 minutes long, and I don't want that. To be fair, the one I'm about to talk about is like 18 minutes long, but there are many seats, several in fact,
and it's interesting, like the setup, I think. So even just going to look at the way it's set up is interesting. So even if you don't stay for the duration, it's like a fun experience, because you like walk it. That's so the big black room that I was talking about when you first walk in, this is
in that
second theater. So, or arguably the first, because that's like the first one you meet, but whatever.
Oh.
It's the second one we're talking about, so deal with it. But it's cool because you walk in and there's a screen on either side of you, but it's one piece, which I loved, because it's almost like you're part of it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of borderline like immersive installation.
Yeah,
maybe?
I would agree. I think because I'll explain it a little bit, but well, so it's by an artist called Ho Tzu Nien, and it's called Two or Three Tigers. And I think, yeah, this artist works with VR and performance, and I think this is a good kind of alternative, because in theory, this could be, like the way it's kind of set up, this could be something you could view in like a 3D headset. 360 headset.
Yes.
But that's not super accessible. So I think this is quite a good alternative. But it would be cool.
But also, I can totally appreciate that. And like, you know, every project needs like a place to aim to go.
Yeah, definitely. And like, it looks like it was made in a game engine. So I assume that would potentially be a kind of automatic thing that they would be able to do with it. Like, it looks like it was made in Unity. Like, just the animations and the models and stuff.
Yes, because it's an animation.
It is. So it's bizarre and cool. So it just this quick quote here, brings to life the 19th century print Road Surveying Interrupted in Singapore, which on the surface sounds kind of boring, but let me tell you, it's not.
Spoiler alert.
So, as Rosie said, there's two screens on either side of like this cinema space. So all the seats are like down the side. So you kind of sit and just look left and right.
Or you can do what I did and I just sat on the floor.
Or you can sit on the floor.
And
you
just
can do that.
Twirl.
Oh, this would like also be good
spin
for...
spin on your bum kind of thing.
However, carpet burns potentially. So swivel chairs, I think, would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And they don't necessarily stay on the same screen, but generally on one screen there is... a model of a man, like an animation of a man. And on the other screen is a tiger.
Yeah.
And it's basically these two figures are floating about in space. There's a sun there sometimes, like in the background, and they're kind of always facing each other and just moving around each other. And this whole kind of piece is about, well, is the like the whole exhibition is about, it's like it's becoming animal-like. So it's not a song. It's really weird. It's like poetry. It's like history. It's performance.
It's very theatrical.
Very theatrical. And there's a line which gets repeated a lot called we're tigers, like we are tigers. And then the next line after that is we're tigers. So kind of that obviously implies, you know, human tiger, like a were animal, a were thing.
Yes.
And it's just so creepy. Dude, it's so creepy.
And I think part of the creepiness is because the animation has... I don't want to say it doesn't have consistency, because it does, but the models of the figures
change
are just, it's so surreal.
Mm-hmm.
It's so it'll be like a model, think of the tiger, I think, is particularly strange, mm-hmm. because maybe it's because people have played around with, like, you know, models of people and made them all weird, and that's something you could easily do, even just... if your computer glitches and you're like on Sims or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we're familiar with. And we're familiar with the human body, but the tiger just like stretches and squishes and then it becomes flat and then it's huge and then it's like very serious, but it's silly. Like, so what you're hearing and what you're looking at are quite different, I thought.
I think so. But I mean, that's kind of to do with the narrative piece. So the whole thing, as I said, is the print, is what brings to life the print, Road Surveying Interrupted in Singapore. So throughout, and is, like I said, it's kind of long, it's like 18 a bit minutes, but it kind of brings you through a history of the Western world, at the very least, learning about tigers. So like... it starts in 1819 when the British arrive in Singapore. But for like over a decade, like nearly 20 years while they're there, there's no mention of tigers. Because, you know, tigers are crafty, they stay out of the way.
Yeah.
And there's lots of like jungle and stuff like that. So the British didn't quite get there with the colonizing just yet.
Even though they are the biggest big cat.
Mm.
Fun fact.
Ooh, I didn't know that. That's a good fun fact. Thank you, Rosie. And then it says in 1835, the tiger made itself known. So what's it called? Yeah, George Coleman, who wrote this surveying thingamabobby, was using this. It's repeated a lot, and it's a good word because we're on a vocab thing today. A theodolite.
Ooh.
Which I googled it. It's kind of like, do you know when like oldie timey shit people would use that thing to like look at the stars? It's kind of like that, but for land.
Oh, cool.
So he's using that to survey the land, and so it's like you look through, not quite your viewfinder, but you look like through a thing, like you focus your vision, and then in the frame you just saw this tiger just kind of walk in. And then the tiger attacked them and broke the theodolite. But I don't think anyone died. And no one believed that this strange new big cat appeared and attacked people until they went back to the site and found like the smashed equipment and stuff. Like, oh, dang. So then like it's just one of those things that goes through the history. So they'd get lots of like Chinese immigrants or like Chinese workers to like build because, you know, cheap labor. And then they keep on getting killed by tigers because, you know. But they just kind of keep it hush. And then when they couldn't keep it as hush, they started to like offer rewards for pelts. And it's in that bit, I think, where the tiger starts like stretch and compress and stuff.
Yes, to be like a skin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, because it's just its head. And then its whole body looks like, do you know, there's like bear mats.
Well, yes.
I guess it's just any mat.
Yes.
That's just
made out of an animal.
A full animal.
Yeah.
Gross.
But at the same time, that's happening because the two screens are connected. The two figures are connected. The man's face actually turns quite like cat-like, but that doesn't last long. After that, it kind of turns more into like a porcelain mask, which is really creepy and weird. But throughout all of this, the tiger and the man are talking, generally saying similar things. and the man's just got like a proper like a Britishy accent and speaking in a normal way, if like a bit fast a lot of the time. But the tiger, his voice is, that's the creepy bit. It's weird to see all this, but it's even weirder to hear the tiger speak. And I'm not going to do it because I can't, and also I don't want to, but it sounds like it's like in so much anguish, like its voice is really drawn out.
And very grand, I thought.
Quite grand. Like, well, I think that kind of encapsulates like the position of the tiger at the time. It's like this beautiful, huge animal of which there was many.
Truly king of the jungle.
Yes. And then it just got smushed down and, you know, nearly extinct now. So it's like the Malay tiger. In 1900, there were apparently 9 subspecies of tigers in the world, so like named after the regions where they were. So today, apparently only 250 to 340 adult Malayan tigers can freely inhabit the Malay Peninsula, which is like where this is all like about. So just really, it's really interesting. I didn't know any of that stuff.
No.
And then through this really creepy theatrical scare fest,
yeah,
I learned.
And we bumped into our friend Jenny, who works at the Baltic, who we've mentioned a few times. Shout out to Jenny.
Yes.
Because she always gives us like cool info. Like, talk to the staff at the Baltic, mm-hmm. because they have so much information and they're all really nice. All the ones I've met are really nice.
Literally everything about everything, yeah, as well.
So if you just want a bit more information, or you're like, I don't know what's going on over there, like, mm-hmm. they can tell you, and they can tell you just what you want to know.
Yeah.
And which is, you know, cool, I thought.
That's pretty cool.
So she gave us a bit of a like behind the scenes of some of the work. But the bit about this that I liked is she said that some people were coming out of this film being like, what the hell was that? And then the next people to come out would be like, that's the best piece of art I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's like a Marmite art piece.
Yeah.
Either didn't get it and didn't like it or loved it. I loved it because I've seen it about 5 times now.
Wow.
Well, this happens, you know, this happens with me. Yeah. I've said it before. When I really like a video piece, I'll just go like, see it a lot. So yeah, like the Lunch and Fur that was on at Hatton last year, saw that about 5 times. The Crystal Gaze that's on at the Lang, saw that about 5 times. So I saw this one about 4 times, so I need to get on it.
Oh, and one of the first episodes we ever did was about like taking a statue to somewhere else. I can't remember. At the Baltic.
Taking a statue to somewhere else.
With Ellie. This is like beginning of Hey Art, What's Good. And you went to go see, basically, you went to go see that film like 7 times.
Oh my God. Of course, This Machine Builds Nations by Yasmina Chabik.
That's amazing. This is why, if anyone ever wants to know, that's why Alice gives you the dates, names, places, times, because she can just do what she just did there. I'm pointing at her quite extravagantly. Yeah. How do you do that? You just remember stuff.
Well, because I really liked it.
Yeah, I like loads of stuff. Oh, that doesn't mean I remember.
Well, I've got a mind for names and dates.
Good. Because I don't, so we're the perfect team.
Yes.
I have a mind for concepts.
Perfect.
And making things up.
Yay.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, that piece was top notch. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I think I appreciated it more once I'd stopped watching it, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
I was
time to ruminate.
Absolutely. I went in and I was like, what the heck? I don't know what's going on, and this is really, really strange. Mm. And then I walked out and I kept thinking about it, and that's usually a sign that the art did what it set out, yes, to do. It got in my head and it like, it's the little niggle in there.
Yep.
And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, that was amazing, actually. Yeah. That was really good. So I went from like a solid meh to like a big thumbs up.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, that's what you want.
So, and I haven't seen it many times. I saw it once.
Oh, there you go.
And
that's also all you need. You don't have to see art all the time if you liked it. I just obsess sometimes.
We're very different consumers of art, and we approach it very differently, but that's why these conversations are so interesting.
Yeah.
So, well, I think they are pretty embarrassing if they're not.
Oh, Rosie, I don't tell you this, but it's actually not interesting at all.
Oops. Ooh, let's take a change of direction.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about the hippo.
Please do.
There was a huge hippo in the middle of the room.
There was.
So right next to the external room, in the big room. So many rooms.
The main space.
Yes, the main space. So you walk in, and this is like a massive stone. I don't know, it looks stone-like.
I think sculpture. It's like plaster.
Yeah, but it looks very like solid and permanent, and it's huge. It's like way bigger than an actual hippo. So there's kind of this fantastical nature about it. And that's kind of what I was thinking about when I was thinking our kids would probably really enjoy this. Because, I mean, it's just a huge hippo. The temptation to climb on it would be immense.
Yes.
It was for me as an adult. So who knows? But when we went, because it was the preview, it was part of a performance. So it was actually Baltic staff that took part in this. And like they had to do shifts and stuff. But they had to like, they climbed on the back of the hippo and read a newspaper. And I think it was just like a random newspaper.
Yeah.
And once they'd done, and they actually had to read every page. And then when they'd finished the page, they discarded it to like the floor. So mid-performance, you're looking at a massive hippo with then what is, in comparison, quite a small adult human. Because like, just comparatively, this hippo's massive. And they're kind of like a leg either side. So like plonked on like a horse. And then there's like just loads of newspaper pages scattered around, which I thought was cool because it was like water or something, like the surface of water. Yeah. So it looked like it was this huge like hippo floating along this like paper river or something.
I can dig it.
I thought it was quite cool. And was the rule something like if there was like a page with good news?
But it was every time the like read something cool or whatever, the blew a whistle?
Yeah, that was it.
That was it.
And I really liked that because there was not that many whistleblowers. But if that's the news. No, I know. That was that. I just liked it. And sometimes I just want to like, you don't have to analyze it any more than that.
No. Well, in case you're curious, dear listeners, it's called Hope Hippo by Elora and Calzadilla.
Just good. Well done, guys. Yeah. Good job.
And last little thing I want to talk about, just because it's fun and like it's again not one of those pieces where you like have to like really think about it that much. It's just the Jungle Book.
Yes.
In the back corner of the room, they've got a telly with some speakers and a bunch of nice colourful cushions on the floor because you can just sit down and watch the Jungle Book. However, it's not just the Jungle Book. There are some drawings to go with it, but every character is dubbed with a different language. So it's kind of supposed to, I think it's supposed to be like kind of like the Tower of Babel, like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But they've just got different, so they're all speaking to each other in different languages, but obviously the film continues, so they understand each other. So Baloo the bear speaks Hebrew, Bagheera the panther speaks Arabic, and Mowgli speaks Spanish and other languages.
Ooh, I like that.
It's just cool. It's just nice because, I mean, I like the Jungle Book. I know what happens. So then, and I, as I said before, I'm trying to learn Spanish. So it's just nice to just sit down and watch something in a different language because you're just kind of like, ah,
you
so
just
that's what
like
that is.
Doing that though. Going what? Back to your learning Spanish thing. You just like when we went to Rotterdam and you're like, and then we ended up watching that amazing movie.
Oh my god, what was it called?
Flodder.
Oh my god,
the
okay.
Flodders or something.
It was just Flodder, and then there was the Flodders go to New York.
Yes.
Holy sh! So we literally stayed an entire night because like, oh, we should go out for something to eat, like go out for drinks, and then we saw this movie on in the hotel. I was like, this looks like trash. I want to watch it.
And it's clearly like a beloved like Dutch classic.
Also, it was just in Dutch. There was no English anything. So I was like, right. I mean, you can just look at it and kind of see what's happening.
It was kind
like,
of slapstick, so
it was very slapstick, but there was the odd things like, oh, Rosie, he just said this.
Yeah. Which I did appreciate.
Oh, thank God.
So yeah, like Alice has a thing about watching things in other languages. You watch that soap opera in Spanish.
Oh my God, Amar y Muerte. Yeah. It's a Mexican telenovela.
So very up your street.
Uh-huh.
Not so much me, because I'm not amazing about language, but I like it because it makes sense in that, like, in real life, if all animals had speech, they probably would speak other languages from each other, like, in the same way they're not going to speak human.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I liked it. It was good.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. But it's just a nice little thing.
Yeah. And it's nice to see something familiar in the gallery. So there was a proper mix. There was loads going on.
Yeah. Oh, there's tons that we're not going to talk about.
No, we just can't. So this is the issue when we talk about the Baltic. Unless it's like a whole room installation, you just can't encapsulate everything they have to offer because it's so darn big.
It's pretty dang big. That's why it's good.
But we want to give you a taster. A taster of what's good, because there's so much more in there that is also good.
Yeah.
That we just can't cover.
We simply can't.
No. There were only two women.
That's true.
We can only do what we can do.
just talk about art.
Hey. Mm.
But I mean, I think it probably wraps it up for this one. There's a lot to see, a lot to like, a lot to learn.
Yeah.
And it's on for like ages. It's on till the 19th of April. So like, you got a hella time.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Nice
Would
one.
Recommend.
Lovely. Whew.
Nice.
So a way we like to end podcasts is to talk about something that we're looking forward to. Like, could be something that we're just going to deal with like friends or family, something we're going to go see, somewhere we're going to go. So Rosie, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, well, seeing as at the beginning I did a few, I'm going to do a couple.
Yeah, go for it, dude.
I'm just like, generally excited for 2020, generally excited for podcasting in 2020. So excited. And I'm excited for my no buying challenge.
Hell yeah.
And I'm excited to go to London this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So when everyone's listening to this, I'll most likely be on a train going to King's Cross. Because my grandma used to live in London and she's recently moved to the Northeast. So I'm going to her old house to help pack up her things and et cetera, et cetera.
Nice.
But my partner, never been to London.
Oh.
It escapes me how you can't, how you haven't been, how you can live 24 years and not go to your own capital city. He's been to other countries' capital cities. I don't understand. No judgment if you're one of these people, but honestly, go. Like, yeah. It's 4 hours on a train.
Or 2 hours and 57 if you get the fast one.
Hey, so, like, that's... You can do it in a day.
Well, the pinnacle of you can do it in a day is the first time...
I knew you were going to say this.
The first many times I went to London was just for a day, but I was poor and with my friends... And who were also not very, you know, we were, what, 16, 17? We didn't have money. But what we did have was the Megabus. And not only that, the Megabus had £5 Wednesdays. So you could go literally anywhere. We could have went further afield. We could have went to Paris for a fiver. But instead, we just decided for a round trip to London. So £10 total. However, the bus was at 1:40 in the morning. The bus on the way back was at 10:30 in the evening. So let me tell you, Rosie, those were long-ass days.
Yes, they were.
But I did them like 5 times. So
so if Alice can do it, you can do it. I won't do it.
That's
but
the moral of this tale.
I'm going to take a train and come back the next day.
That's fair.
Because I'm not like 16 and poor. Yeah, I'm like...
You love yourself a
bit
more.
I'm 25 and tired.
Yeah, that's fair. I think we all are.
Yeah. Apparently, I found out that... Because I've been of the big belief that you start dying as soon as you're born.
Yeah.
But I've found out recently that technically your cells will actively regenerate very frequently until you turn about 25. So you don't actually start dying until 25.
Hey.
So happy birthday.
Thank you. It's next month.
Hey.
Well, what that can be you? My thing. Yeah. I am looking forward to my birthday.
Looking forward
because,
to dying.
Yep, can't wait. Me and my siblings, we do this like all the time. We'll go somewhere for our birthday.
Tradition.
We don't all live together. So we're not going on my actual birthday. We're going the weekend before. But we're all going somewhere real new because I've mentioned before, my brother lives in Finland. Expensive to get to. What isn't as expensive to get to. In fact, no, much, much cheaper because Ryanair had a sale. And it's close to him so he can get there for not too expensive. Is Latvia. So we're going to go to Latvia.
Heck yeah.
Never been. Don't know Latvian. It should probably be fine though.
Oh, you're going to have a blast.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
The three of you.
Yeah.
The A-team.
The A-team. Plus Adam's John. So the A-team. A-A-A-J.
Aj.
Aj. The Aj team.
Or Ja.
I like that one better. Ja. But yeah, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Oh,
but also something a bit closer than that, which is the thing I wrote down, but then that seemed to segue really well into what you just finished with. On the 17th of this month, I'm looking forward to the exhibition that we're going to go see, which is Under the Eaves by Ellen Ranson. You may know Ellen from such things as Corny Arts Festival, being an artist, being on this podcast like last month.
Lovely.
She's cool. And I want to see her
so
art.
Cool. So.
Yeah. Looking forward to that as well. So
just like cool people, let me bask in your glory.
So well, we shall on the 17th at Heart the Pool Art Gallery.
And if you know of anything like good or cool or fun that you think we should check out, hit us up. We want it. We love recommendations. 2020, come at us.
We haven't done much research as to what's on in 2020, so help us fill our diaries.
Yes, please. So as I said, Twitter, Instagram, at heyartwhatsgood. Gmail, which is heyartwhatsgood@gmail.com, and we have a website as well, just heyartwhatsgood.com.
Nice and easy to remember.
We do what we can.
Yes. But yeah, thank you so much for having a listen. Welcome back, everyone. Yeah. Reigning in the new year, new decade.
Oh, new decade. Oof. Can't wait. It's going to be a good one, guys.
Hell yeah.
I'm coming in it. Like, yeah, let's all face this with like excitement, positivity.
Radical positivity, dude.
What's good, right?
Indeed.
Let's all just like spend the 20s finding what's good.
And sounds then like a plan.
Rejecting what's bad.
Okay. Okay. Out of sight, out of mind.
Hey.
But thank you so much for listening.
Yes, as always, thanks for joining us on this adventure.
Yes, and so until next time.
Bye for now.
Bye.